Earlier this week, U.S. officials indicated the Bush administration will soon propose a billion-dollar aid package for Afghanistan. Now, NPR has learned that the Bush administration, in the coming weeks, will announce wide-ranging changes in its approach to reconstruction in Afghanistan. The administration's handling of the aftermath of the Afghan war has drawn bipartisan criticism in Washington and around the world. The new focus reportedly includes sending scores of high-level U.S. advisors directly into government ministries in Kabul and ending U.S. cooperation with local warlords opposed to the government of President Hamid Karzai. Tonight, we take a look at the worsening security situation inside Afghanistan and speak to the State Department's newly appointed U.S. coordinator to that country. But we begin with a moment when the world's eyes were on Kabul. In December of 2001, Hamid Karzai took power as president. It had been a day of pomp, circumstance, and triumph. Yet no one knew better than the Afghan president what enormous pitfalls lay ahead.
The significance of this day in Afghan history will really depend on what happens in the future. If we deliver to the Afghan people what we promised, this will be a great day. If we don't deliver, this will go into oblivion. I hope we will deliver properly to the Afghan people, and then this day will be remembered nicely.
But Hamid Karzai was left in a palace with scant electricity and with defiant warlords in his cabinet. Meanwhile, Afghan officials say they received little more than half the $5 billion in international support that was promised. Most went for humanitarian ends, with little left over for reconstruction. By summer of 2002, the Bush administration was moving away from Afghanistan and two doors over to Iraq. Yet according to human rights reports, lawlessness, drug trafficking, the sexual assault of women were all back on the rise in Afghanistan. Meanwhile, Afghan officials in Washington grew desperate for money and attention. Harun Amin is the chargé d'affaires at the Afghan embassy in Washington, the Karzai government's highest-ranking official now in the United States.
Afghanistan, as of now, is caught between chaos and Karzai, and Karzai is caught between guns and money.
Harun Amin acknowledges that the situation in Afghanistan is dire. Security, Karzai's primary consideration 18 months ago, remains elusive, without the money to take control away from wealthy warlords and their militias.
The more money there is in Afghanistan, the less the power of so-called warlords or regional centers of power and so on and so forth. So in a nutshell, money is of key. A paramount significance in Afghanistan.
Money may be key, but what struck the international community this week is a Human Rights Watch report which faulted the members of the Karzai government, specifically the defense and education ministries, for corruption, human rights abuses, death threats to journalists, and the criminal behavior of Afghan security and police forces. John Sifton, who prepared the Human Rights Watch report, returned from Afghanistan just a week ago. He says the chaos in Afghanistan was not inevitable.
Afghanistan is very unstable, and the United States policy there is not particularly conducive to it becoming more stable. Right now, there's a divided policy. On the one hand, support for President Hamid Karzai and the central authority in Kabul. On the other hand, there is continuing military operations going on, especially on the east of the country on the Pakistan border. Those military operations involve the U.S. military and the intelligence, the CIA, working side by side with local military officials, some of whom have really no honest affiliation with President Karzai. That cooperation often strengthens those actors. Many have become self-sufficient at this point, but really would not exist without the support of the United States.
Take, for example, the city of Jalalabad, east of Kabul, near the Pakistani border.
Jalalabad is run by a military dictator, essentially, Hazrat Ali, whose troops are basically like petty criminals. They just rob everybody blind everywhere they go. His nephew has been implicated in a rape of young boys, stealing cars, extortion. And this is somebody who cooperated with the United States during the Tora Bora campaign and continues to cooperate with the United States. His troops guard the United States military presence at Jalalabad Airport.
So some of what might be expedient then for U.S. forces is actually detrimental to the authority of the central government under Hamid Karzai.
That's exactly right.
Asked to respond to this charge, a high-ranking State Department official said it's true that coalition forces have worked with Afghan commanders around the country to defeat al-Qaeda and the Taliban. And the Taliban does remain a deadly threat, according to New York Times correspondent Carlotta Gall, who we reached yesterday in Kandahar. One of the most insecure places currently in Afghanistan is the south.
The Americans had Apache helicopters pursuing a group of Taliban fighters today. They think they've killed four of those fighters. So you get these little incidents almost every day. It's not as serious as Iraq. We're not losing American soldiers, but the Afghan government forces are losing people.
And you have a sense that the Taliban sympathizers and the Taliban really then is resurgent in that part of the country.
Yes, I mean, all the officials and I think the American forces also say they're not capable of much. They can do small guerrilla attacks. They can't launch a major offensive. But having said that, they are causing problems and they have scared a lot of the international aid away from the south.
Gall says the task at hand for U.S. policymakers and the international community is to deliver on the promises it made so boldly when the spotlight was still on Afghanistan.
Because otherwise they really are playing into the hands of the Taliban, because the Taliban keep saying to them, you know, what have they done? In fact, they didn't come here to rebuild the country. They just came to occupy it.
One of the best-known Afghanistan experts is New York University's Barnett Rubin, who's in Kabul for the eighth time in recent months. Rubin says in the past 2 days, Karzai has gathered all the governors and militia leaders from Afghanistan's 32 provinces to lay down the law. Rubin also told NPR, speaking from Kabul, that he's learned there that the U.S. is on the verge of completely retooling its policy toward Afghanistan.
Apparently, as part of this increase in aid, they're going to send out 15 ambassador-level advisors and 200 to 250 advisors for the Afghan government, which they're calling it here the Bremerization of Afghanistan, which will be creating a kind of colonial administration in Afghanistan, which will not be effective, will be resented a great deal, and which will undermine the attempts to build up the Afghan institutions. So I'm concerned. While I very much welcome the additional assistance and the change in rules of engagement, I'm concerned that if the U.S. itself has too strong a profile here, it will really undermine the effort to make Afghanistan a self-governing country.
The highest-ranking U.S. official for Afghanistan at this moment is William Taylor, ambassador. He's just been appointed the new U.S. coordinator for Afghanistan. Taylor confirms that in the coming weeks, the Bush administration will accelerate its efforts in Afghanistan.
Part of this acceleration will include helping the government of Afghanistan take advantage of the international assistance that's coming in. One of the things we are considering is to provide senior-level advisors that can work with the government of Afghanistan in each of the ministries, both at a senior level and at the technical level, to help develop the capacity to provide services. So in the health ministry to provide health care services, similarly in the Ministry of Education to work with that minister to help build schools and to train teachers. So yes, part of what we're thinking about is both people and, again, resources.
Well, is there a sense, Ambassador Taylor, that U.S. efforts thus far have been incomplete, that matters in Afghanistan stand half-finished, that there's a danger that things are getting out of control, that the Taliban is again resurgent?
I think there is the sense that a reinvigorated policy, a reinvigorated effort on the part of the United States as well as the international community. It's not just the United States. We're going to be looking to see our allies can join us in this acceleration. But there is the sense that this time is a good time to refocus attention. And it can't be denied that over the past several months, the world's attention has been in a nearby, but not exactly the same place as Afghanistan, and now is an important time to refocus. And there will be decisions and announcements made over the next several weeks.
Afghan officials, still unaware of the details of the administration's plan, welcome the acceleration of aid and human resources wholeheartedly. But diplomat Haroon Amin cautions that the money must be spent on tangible, visible projects. Infrastructure, security, finishing at least one major road in the country, not on protecting and housing new U.S. advisors. Amin says this effort will help alleviate fears that the United States is walking away from Afghanistan with the job half finished.
I think in a nutshell, for as long as the international community remembers 9/11 and links Afghanistan's fate to 9/11 and understands that withdrawal means recurrence of 9/11, we will be in good hands. Otherwise, if we forget about our responsibilities, if the Afghan nation wants to go back to narcotics and all these things, and the international community says, you know what, we've had enough of this, I think that will be the disaster of the collective human civilization as well as collective human conscience.
There's one thing Afghanistan and the United States have in common. Both countries are holding national elections next year. Afghan experts agree that resolving the situation in Afghanistan will not only bolster the Karzai government, but also the Bush administration's claims that it did not walk away. Ambassador William Taylor told NPR that the administration is determined to help rebuild Afghanistan. For previous coverage on Afghanistan, go to our website at npr.org.